WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're tuned in to the, what was it?
Hey, everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Ain't this sweet?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A bunch of a-holes.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Bunch of jackasses standing in a circle.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Anyone who anyone knows that you are.
The Omega.
You believe they call us criminals when he's assaulting us with that haircut?
Heartbreak Mike.
Check out for you.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
He says he's an a-hole, but he's not, and I'm quoting him here, 100% a dick.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Well, that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
WTR Sunday Night.
They're all idiots.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Welcome to our review of WWE Night of Champ... No, wait, hang on. Clash of the Champion... No, hang on. There's a lot of scribbled out things here on the run sheet. Clash of Champions. Okay, that's the show.
Yeah, that's the show.
Where no champions actually clashed with each other. There was no clashing of champions.
Or outfits.
We're not talking fashion faux pas.
That's hashtag Blame Omega. No, we're not doing hashtag Blame Omegas. No.
I would get one every time Jericho comes out.
And that's a sad thing because you're a big Jericho mark.
I know! So... here's the fun part. We got a show to do. We got a lot to recap. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of this network. Joining me tonight, fucking nobody! We're going to have Heartbreak Mike, but for right now, it is just me and the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Yes, we are here. We are live, coast to coast, on the interwebs, because that's what we do. It's Wrestle Talk Radio without the Canadian who is having computer issues at this time. You can always listen to this show on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can listen to us on the go, wherever you are, even if your computer is not working. So you could do that as a thing. So we're trying to get Heartbreak Mike on the show, so that's why I'm kind of stalling. I'm just throwing out plugs. Speaking of plugs, this Thursday night on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, Gail Kim joins the show.
Ooh.
You should all tune in and listen to that. But joining us right now, here live on Wrestle Talk Radio, is the one, the only, Heartbreak Mike.
What's going on, everybody? So that happened.
That was a show tonight.
That?
We're going to break it all down from top to bottom for everyone. On the show, we're also going to do some quick hits and a little bit of the all-time greatest. You can go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and still vote in the all-time greatest for this week. The things of note from the pre-show, so I'm still watching the Eagles game at this point. Go Eagles. Booker T called TJ Perkins, TJ Parker.
Good one.
Good job, Michael Cole Jr.
Alicia Fox got a new foxtail for her entrance.
Okay, so we're going after the furry market with her.
Yep. Yeah. Nia Jax beat her. Match was okay.
Beat?
Did you actually watch the pre-show, Mike?
I actually watched the pre-show.
Wow.
Nia Jax made Alicia Fox her bitch. It was basically, think of it like this, Omega. Think of it as like Nia Jax was second form Team Four Star Frieza, and Alicia was Krillin.
She speared her through the gut with her horn?
After that Samoan drop, yeah.
You could have just said Frieza and Krillin. I apologize, just fine. I also like the immediate assumption that I didn't see the pre-show that implied. That was cool, too.
Okay.
Did you?
So for
no,
the, so
you were correct.
Because for the last 4 months, every time I go, so who saw the pre-show? Nothing. So this time, someone at least watched it. So thank you, Mike, for actually watching the pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate somebody doing it.
I had a busy day, okay?
Team Squash continues to roll on as Nia Jax picks up more points, and there's a pay-per-view point, so 5 points for the Squash.
Jesus.
Win for me. Now we take it to the main show that everyone saw. Open up with The New Day defending the tag team titles against Gallows and Anderson.
That was... the beginning of the match, I'm sorry.
Go for it.
That was hilarious. Beginning of the match, they were just like, you know what, fuck you. Just beat the snot out of both of them. And continuing the fact that they didn't care who was in their way. They beat up poor Xavier Woods. They beat up poor Big E. And they beat up Kofi. That pretty much was a heel versus face match. Because you did know who the heels were, who the face were. Granted, congratulations, New Day. 399 days. As WWE World Tag Team Champions. Cool. The match was good. I hated the ending. But, yeah.
You forgot to mention they also attacked Francesca, too.
Fuck Francesca.
Look, Francesca 1 was cool. Francesca 2 is a bitch.
There you go.
What do you think of the match, Omega?
I thought it was a good showing between the two. I did like that there was a very solid heel-face dynamic, which still kind of gets blurred because New Day's resorting to the tactical advantage of a third man, the way they kind of did in their heel days. A little bit more than they used to, but against Gallows and Anderson, I don't seem to mind that.
It worked for the night.
It works for the night. Like, it works in, you know, like, situations like this.
All really can say, Anderson and Gallows came to play tonight. They stepped up their A game tonight in this round, for sure.
Yeah, no lab coats, no eggs.
None of that. No John Stewart at ringside. We actually got a really good competitive match between the two. And now, going on to day number 400, the New Day keep the belts.
Yay.
After a trombone to the face and a big ending. So they're breaking the demolition record in 78 days?
Good lord.
Is that where we're headed?
I hope not.
They kind of deserve it.
Do that?
They kind of do. Like, that was such a shit gimmick. They were given, when they were given the belts, no one wanted to have the belts because it was still a shit gimmick.
You said kind of. Define kind of.
They brought that gimmick from the shit pile all the way to the highest reaches it could go. Like, they made themselves the most over thing, the most watchable thing on a Raw that at the time was, keep in mind, like, we are enjoying the new era of WWE where we've got cruiserweights and young talent getting pushes and Kevin Owens is the champion and AJ's the champion elsewhere. And we're, you know, and the women actually mean something. A year back, Raw was still kind of shit. We weren't enjoying all the new things that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And New Day made themselves the thing to watch on Raw.
They did.
Like, huge credit to them for that. And they've made those belts very, very important feeling.
Mm-hmm.
For very, very strong belts because they have held it so long. And it's not a heel way of doing it. Like, they've taken on every challenger that has come up to them. Honestly, like, I have no issue with them taking the record for the tag title reign. Like, they earned that.
Okay. The issue is not with them taking the title reign. Who is next for them to fight against? Because now they beat Gallows and Anderson, simply clean and simple. Are we going to do another rematch with them at Hell in a Cell? Okay, you say no. Then where do you go, Mike?
Honestly? Oh, Lord.
Are we shining up them stars?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
The other team is Enzo and Cass. and the match will suck. Not gonna lie.
Face versus face never works.
It's gonna suck.
No.
I'm out of teams now.
I think we're all out of teams unless Gargano and Ciampa get the...
No, no.
Sorry.
No, well, you never know. They're off the, like, apparently they're off the NXT shows for a while.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Are they not?
No, nope. Nope.
Why are you laughing?
They're not off them. They're on there. They're building up with the revival. They did the angle on TV this week where they fought in the parking lot.
Okay. I just kind of looked at its results.
Congratulations, Johnny Gargano.
Well, they may have not been in the ring for tapings. They're still doing angles.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay, so who are they facing? We back to Gallows and Anderson? Are they becoming Dolph Ziggler, just the never-ending title shots?
Headbangers
the Spirit
back.
Squad.
What was that, Mike?
The Spirit Squad.
They could bring back the Spirit Squad.
Dolph Ziggler back to his roots.
Well, he is going back to his roots. He hasn't dyed his hair in forever.
That's his roots going back to him.
That's his roots going back to him, yeah. So New Day is the champs, and we're stuck in a tag division with no challengers.
It's like they stripped half of the teams that existed.
Right?
Split them. That's what happened. I don't think we're going to see any League of Nations anytime soon. Just saying.
Well, based on the ending of a match, could we see the Swiss Superman and Sheamus as a tag team? Could that be their championship opportunity?
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus Christ. They would do that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They would so do that. And that's the kind of bullshit that they would pass the belts off with. That's the kind of shit they would pull.
Mm-hmm. Sound like Matt Hardy and MVP all over again. Delete.
So that's the situation we're in. It's cool for them to get 478.9, whatever the days it is. I just hope they have opponents to get to that point. That's sort of the problem. Lacking of challengers for the New Day.
A huge problem.
Which is why I thought Gallus and Anderson should have won this match, because it's been 400 days.
Yes.
And at some point, you run out of teams.
You run out of options.
Especially with the brand split.
But yeah.
That's sort of what happens there. So this was a good opener, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Time to change everything to purple.
Thank God.
Time to make everything in the world purple for the cruiserweights.
It's easier to change the tint a little bit on the video feed.
No.
They're being lazy. You know this.
No, maybe that... You never know. That might be what's happening. TJ Perkins is actually a little blue.
Even so, I even just made our graphic on the screen purple. Because we're talking cruiserweights. So is TJ Perkins versus the Brian Kendrick.
Can we stop for a minute and talk about TJ Perkins' entrance?
Yes, please.
No, we're not allowed to do that. It's not in our...
Oh, come on.
Fuck your run sheet.
No.
Right.
No, go ahead. Talk about it.
I was about to say, Omega, that was good.
Oh my God. He's got a character select for his Titantron. He's got music that sounds like it came out of a good Mega Man game.
Yes.
Oh my.
Capcom has done right. I wasn't that much of a huge fan of TJ Perkins, but now because of that, I was like, okay, you look like someone I can enjoy a good game of Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to redo your tights in like ASIC blocks.
God, it sounds like, I'm telling you, if he came out, no, see, if WrestleMania, if only WWE would have had permission, if he came out to Guile's theme, I would lose it.
His official theme is called Playing with Power.
That I'm downloading now.
Thank you for putting it up on YouTube, WWE.
Okay, what can we do with TJ Perkins and Xavier Woods?
Up, up, down, down?
A whole season of it.
Not to mention, hold on, let me see.
It's like, I need TJ. I need a mixed tag here or something. Any reason for them to be on the same team, just so TJ can say Xavier is his player too.
Xavier Woods is a cruiserweight.
Technically?
No, Xavier Woods is 205 pounds.
Hmm.
Exactly 205 pounds.
Well,
do the right thing, WWE. Well, never mind.
Unless he's had extra bootios, then he could go up to 206, and then he's not a cruiserweight.
See, even Xavier Woods. And yes, I'm extremely jealous of TJP's entrance theme. It's absolutely fantastic.
See, a year from now, he's still going to be doing that as a heel, and he'll do like the old William Regal power of the punch thing, except it'll be a power glove.
Stop that. Sorry, we're going off topic. Yes, anyway. Brian Kendrick's music, yeah, it was pretty good.
He's a man with a plan.
He's a man with a plan.
Always has been, always will be.
Always will be.
Except when he's getting destroyed by The Undertaker.
Can we not?
What? It was a thing.
Who really has a plan for that, though?
Brock Lesnar.
Shut the fuck up.
No, Brock Lesnar's plan is the same plan he always has. That means it's not a plan.
World domination?
Brock anyway. Smash.
What do you think of the match? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The match was, that was one of, if not the only, exciting matches on the pay-per-view. Because it's been a while since we've seen some high-flying. Oh, flips, and no fuck-ups. No Sin Cara botches. Yes! I think we were all happy with that.
There was a few minor points that bugged me.
Go ahead.
Brian Kendrick, at one point TJ was going to hit him with a neck breaker after he bounced off the turnbuckle. Brian didn't have his head far enough back, so he had to grab his hair and immediately follow that up into like the underhook lung blower where he completely missed his back. Like, no egregious botches, but there's still, it's like, Kendrick didn't take that right.
I think you said it best in the Royal Rumble. I know I fucked up.
So, this match was good. It was a good match. We see a lot of high flying, so sometimes like, oh. But he did the hurricane spot to the outside, which was nice. What's good with the style Perkins does is he mixes the high flying with a little bit of submission. So it's a nice, good combination.
Yeah, I think the modern cruiserweights you see, it's not like WCW style cruiserweights where it's just pure, like, adrenaline bouncing around the whole bell to bell. There's actual variety in it now. Right. Like, I think that was the best thing that the Cruiserweight Classic showed, is that just because you're lightweight doesn't mean you're a high flyer. Like, you know, you had guys like Gallagher, which are, like, pure technician.
Mm-hmm. So, it was very enjoyable. TJP retained.
You know what I liked, aside from, like, they're setting up the ring ropes and everything to kind of give it, like, the unique feel. I liked that this was, like, one of the rare times I can remember where the ref actually did, like, the whole, like, check the outfit, no foreign weapon hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that they're trying to retain that sense of reality they tried for in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We then went to the seventh match, except if you don't count.
So far,
if you don't count Hashes, where they do it every night and they don't count them in the best of seven, Sheamus versus Cesaro. Thank God.
I didn't watch that match, I'm sorry.
You did not watch this match?
I did.
So right. You did not see Cesaro almost kill himself?
Yeah.
I'll probably rewatch it very soon.
Yeah, he gave himself an impaler DDT to the outside, except there's no one to catch him.
Oh no.
That was a thing. He also did the 619 at one point.
Very slowly.
Very slowly, but did the 619.
Yeah.
Then he went to the crossbody afterwards. He jammed his head right into the mat, like, and he still got up. They checked on him for like a couple minutes.
Cesaro is hardcore. Like, if you get, a lot of us have seen his early years when he had hair. And this is nothing to him, honestly. He's been through worse. And, I mean, it's just Cesaro's one tough son of a bitch. And why are we not giving him the title? I don't know. He hasn't failed a wellness policy. He hasn't done anything stupid as of late. But you know.
He doesn't have a brass ring.
Mike, watch that GIF right now.
As I go to watch it. Well then.
So you want to retract this thing where he hasn't done anything stupid in a while? That was something stupid.
That was a thing.
You could also say Sheamus was too far back to catch him properly, but yeah.
I will say this was a very enjoyable match. They beat the crap out of each other. in this one. Like, first six matches, there was nothing special. This, they stepped it up, and they really went at it. Lots of near falls, lots of hard-hitting uppercuts from Cesaro throughout.
They were very aware that after six matches with each other, they were going to have like a less than enthusiastic crowd, so they had to turn it up.
And they did, which was great. We had White Noise on the outside, and then... Sheamus dove off the top rope down onto Cesaro just and ate an uppercut. Don't know what he was trying to do, but he just flew off the top.
And, I hate those spots.
And went, whee!
It's like any time Orton has to do an RKO to a flying opponent, the opponent's just kind of like flying through the air with no arm out, no elbow out, no knee out, just like, here's my neck.
Hit it.
Whee!
So White Noise on the outside, then we close on each other over the... I forget who did the clothesline. I think it was Cesaro did the clothesline to Sheamus. Both men went over the barricade, and the doctors checked on both men, and the referee stopped the match. Cesaro said, I could fight, and they helped Sheamus out, and they were both, the crowd was chanting, let him fight, and that's how it ended.
No, these men can't continue. Meanwhile, Cesaro's standing in the ring, taunting Sheamus.
With one arm, it was his other arm dangling.
Like, you do realize the point of a match is so they keep fighting till like one of them can't continue, right?
That's usually the plan, yeah. It's usually the plan. Why did the referee stop the match? Let's find out from the referee himself.
John Cone, you were the official in the Sheamus versus Cesaro best of seven match. Is there a reason why it got called this evening?
This battle was everything that we thought it was going to be. These guys went at it tooth and nail. I wanted to give it as much leeway as I could. I didn't want to count out. I didn't want to DQ. But when the doctors said that this match could not continue, I had to call it.
It was clear that Sheamus and Cesaro did want to continue. Do you have any comments on that?
We all wanted it to continue. But when the medical staff says that that's it, I have the responsibility to uphold that decision.
That's why the match ended. Right there. From the
horse.
From the horse's mouth.
Jackasses.
Now they got to do it again.
Yeah, reset the board. Match one.
It's like, now what? They gotta do it again, right? No? Maybe? I think after seven, we've seen enough.
Yeah.
But maybe they won't do it. Maybe they'll both just be granted championship opportunities.
Time and time again.
The tag team title championship opportunity.
Because there's something in my world that says, no, one more match on Raw, winner gets Universal title, loser gets U.S. title. It'd be Roman Reigns and Sheamus, and then Cesaro versus Owens.
That'd be cool, but they won't do that?
Of course they won't.
Instead, we're going to get them as the new WWE tag team champions. I don't know.
I swear to God. have them both. Man, these motherfuckers, the first time out, if now they turn around and start doing shit.
I can say this, Cesaro is okay from the floor dive where he almost killed himself.
Awesome.
We will see what happens tomorrow when he probably gets checked out fully.
Right. Harakiri.
But there was doctors waiting for... Cesaro as he came to the back, not the ones that actually came out on TV, the actual doctors they got. So, they were there waiting for him. Apparently they were also backstage waiting for Seth Rollins, so we'll see what happens there as well. Cause apparently, when we talk about it later, apparently he may have injured his ribs. So, we'll see. See on that one. We'll talk about the spot here in a bit. But we'll talk about one more match before our first and only break of the evening. If you're just tuning in, this is WTR Sunday Night. The Canadian is having computer issues. And we're talking WWE Clash of Champions. Speaking of Canadians, it's Sami Zayn versus Chris Jericho. Thoughts?
All of my yes.
Woohoo!
I don't think you put two guys like this in the ring and expect anything but a solid match.
Yeah.
Like, I was perfectly content with this one.
It was a very solid match. It wasn't anything blow away, but it was a solid match.
Oh, yeah. There was such a part of me, it was like, I know Jericho's on my fantasy team, but I'm kind of rooting for Sammy here, because I kind of want Sammy to win. I want Owens and Zayn for a world title.
Yeah. So, we had a Huluva kick, misses, Walls of Jericho, small packages, Blue Thunderbomb, and then a really awkward Codebreaker.
Well...
Yeah. Yeah.
He likes likes to supersell. That's the thing. That's the one thing I can say about Zane. He likes to supersell.
Looked awkward to me. Jericho wins. He likes to supersell, but...
It was like, oh my god, what are you going to do? I got that crack, oh my god. One, two, three.
Like how Rock just like shuts that down. Yeah. No, no, move, suck. One, two, three.
It did. At least to me. But, because I was like, wait, that was the finish? Like, okay.
Meanwhile, on the replay, the cruiserweights are coming out, which means I need to get a handful of quarters ready.
Whee!
So yeah, Chris Jericho picks up the win. First of the beginning of the story, or maybe the end of the... Who knows? Especially with what happened in the main event, which we'll get into in a little while. But right now, we're going to take our first time out of the evening. And when we come back, talk about the rest of the show, the all-time greatest, and some quick hits. It is WTR Sunday Night Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This fall, while some will be voting for the wife of the man who stained a dress,
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
While some will be voting for the unrepentant narcissistic asshole,
they'll say, oh, Trump is chicken. What, them four of them? And according to every online poll, I won every one of them. Now, when I turn on the television and I listen to these, you know, the talking heads who are not smart people at all, they call them elite. My education's better than any of them. I'm smarter than they are.
We urge you to find another party, the CB Radio Party. This fall, our candidates will give you the reasons for why they should be president of the CB Radio Party.
And pretty much the sovereign nation of, while she was sleeping, I said, I must protect the Commonwealth of the... intelligent people. I said, yes, I will face you, Jobber.
All hail El Presidente.
Hello, Jobber.
Tune in Saturday nights, midnight-ish Eastern, for the great CB radio debate only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All hail El Presidente, Lone Jobber.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You're engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This Thursday night, soon-to-be TNA Hall of Famer Gail Kim joins the Rat. Hear her thoughts on entering the Hall of Fame, her career, and even broken Matt Hardy.
I actually said to Jeremy Borash, I said, why is he talking like that? I said, is he trying to make an accent? And it's coming up really bad. And then you kind of, you know, it grows on you.
Tune into the Rack this Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it!
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. This song always puts you in a good mood. So positive. Anyway, back. No one wanted to come along. I got it. Cool. Left on the island. Got it. Cool. Cool. Anyway, Raw Women's Championships on the line. Charlotte, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. What did you think of this match, Omega?
This is where the pay-per-view gets a little fuzzy for me because I had another recording today and I was watching this while talking about a Transformer cartoon, so my memory is weird.
Mike, what do you think of this match?
Suck Dana Brooke.
Besides that?
It was good. It was really good. A couple of oops and woohoos, but you know, it was really good.
I thought this was a really good match. You had a lot of squaring off between one of, you know, the two girls, and one was tossed out. As you get in most normal triple threats, Dana played a huge part in it, as Mike was bringing up. You had some near falls, you had some submissions, you had Dana Brooke pulling Charlotte out of the ring when she was in the bank statement.
Rage.
At one point, you had a Bayley-Sasha alliance, but that didn't really last very long in the match at times. Sasha was being the boss, so, you know. What happens? We had a nice callback to what happened on Raw, where Bayley hit the belly to belly, and then Sasha rolled her up, but Charlotte was able to break that up. As mentioned, the Dana Brooke pulled Charlotte out of the ring during the bank statement. Bayley and Sasha went back and forth with roll ups. Bayley was going for her elbow. She gets knocked off the rope and to the outside by Charlotte. And then Charlotte with a roll up with the foot on the ropes. Two count bank statement. Sasha then kicks Dana in the face. So this whole good defense is broken up, by Bayley to belly, bank statement, Charlotte breaks it up, Sasha then gets thrown into the barricade by Charlotte, get back in the ring, then things got very convoluted with the finish, it's the best way to put it. Bayley was going for, she was trying to get the big girl down with a roll up, did not work, Sasha came in the ring, Charlotte was grabbing onto her hair, Dana was holding onto Sasha, all kinds of confusion, lots of hair grabbing, and the boot to Bayley. Charlotte retains. Best way to describe it. It was very convoluted, the finish. But overall, the match was good.
From what I saw, it was really good. Like, I did like what I was seeing in the match until we got to the end, because A, I don't think the right person won. Fantasy and predictions aside, I think you've done almost all you can with Charlotte as the champ. I want to see someone else with the belt.
We're going to get to that point.
But match itself, that ending, yeah. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's not the first time we've had women's matches where it just felt like the ending got way overthought.
Because they're trying too hard to protect everybody. It was the kind of finish where they didn't want anyone to lose clean. So we're going to have this done very convoluted.
Convoluted, which, but... it's so convoluted to the point where you can't follow it. So the last thing you're really thinking is, oh, wait. Like, the only thing you take away from it is Bayley got pinned by a boot.
Yeah, which was the same move she got pinned by on Raw.
Not one boot, but two boots.
Two boots. Two boots to the face. Somewhere Billy Kay is crying, that's my finish.
Das Boot.
It still made her look... God, like, if you're trying to protect everybody, fine. She wasn't protected.
It made her look weak, I understand.
Which, when she debuts on Raw and she's on fire and she's winning so much and then she's just losing her last two matches in such simple fashions.
Yeah.
Like
Monday Night Raw logic, super face goes over first night and then gets fucked over.
I wouldn't say she's gotten fucked over, though. I think that's a little too strong.
Yeah, that's a little too much. She's not fucked over right now, but we do admit, like, we are aware that she was brought up earlier than they had planned. That was because of Sasha's injury. And then Sasha came back from injury, you know, very quickly. Meaning we really didn't have Bayley in our plans yet.
I want to say she was brought up early, but she was put in the title picture way too early. I would say that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the report was they were still like 3 months off from her because they did want to do one more takeover match with her. Like they were leading to her and Ember Moon.
See, I never heard that. All I heard was she was coming up within that next month. Like Brooklyn was her finale. That's what I've always heard. But who knows? Charlotte retains points on that one. My gut, and this is just my booking, I get this feeling we're doing Sasha and Charlotte at Hell in a Cell for the belt, and I think that's where the title change happens. Because Dana would then cost Charlotte there, so then you can split off Charlotte and Dana.
Thank God.
See, that's where I thought they were going with this.
But it's too hard to do it in a triple threat.
Okay, you're right.
Again, you want to talk about convoluted? It's more convoluted than a triple threat.
You're right.
Like, you want to protect everybody? Like, yeah, you have Dana just slap the shit out of Charlotte when Charlotte's expecting her to help and let someone get a roll-up.
Yeah, I guess. But I see them doing it in singles because that's how they do it. But that's where I see it going. Cause I also can see Bayley losing to Nia at Hell in a Cell as well. Because I'm then taking that to having Nia then being Sasha's challenger as the heel.
That's going to be a huge bank statement.
That's how I kind of see that going.
Someone has to tell WWE we don't root for underdogs because they constantly lose.
They go, yes you do, Daniel Bryan.
He gets fucked out of his matches though. He doesn't just lose to weak ass moves.
Mm-hmm. But that's sort of how I see them possibly booking it. You go with Nia. Your programs would be Nia and Sasha, Charlotte, and Dana, and then you find someone healthy to fight Bayley. Maybe Paige.
Supposed to be back.
Asuka.
Not Asuka. They're not bringing Asuka up anytime soon.
No.
Shut up! Let me have my dream. Ooh,
she is literally the only thing the women's division has in NXT. They can't bring her up.
The only
thing that's been built up.
Uh-huh.
The only thing with credibility behind it right now. You've got talent, don't get me wrong. You've got credible people working in there. None of them are ready to carry that division.
They just gotta hurry up and hype up Ember Moon.
No, you don't rush that. You don't rush that.
No, what I mean, I don't mean by rushing it. You know what I mean? It's fucking time. Yeah, hell yeah. But
Ember Moon's going to be a competitor, yes, but you are still, like, by takeover timing, like, 4 to 6 months out from even putting that match together.
So, Royal Rumble.
I think that's too early.
No, takeover.
No, they're doing a takeover.
No. What I'm saying is, they're doing a takeover.
Okay, okay, Royal Rumble weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's actually about the right time.
Luann's a good term, so Sasha's just a placeholder for the title? No, I would say she would have the belt from November 1st to WrestleMania. If you consider that a placeholder, yeah, sure, but that's 6 months. Then it's pretty good reign. Drop the belt to Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's sort of...
Yeah, Sasha and Bayley at WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Just turn them loose. Like, an NXT match. Like, that's my only fear, is like, because it's under Raw booking, because it's under like main roster booking, that it's going to be toned down from the matches they had in NXT.
Yeah. To answer LeMans, yes, I think they would have Nia Jax lose to Sasha Banks. Yep. She'll play the underdog. She'll come, she'll overcome it. It's how they book things. It's how they book their monsters.
My statement still stands. That is going to be a huge ass bank statement.
It's, that's how you do things. Look at how they did Bayley and, Nia during NXT. That's how they'll book it. She'll overcome her. You're building Nia up to stuff for something. She's not.
You're not going to just hand her the belt just because she's on this big winning streak, because she's squashing jobbers and Alicia Fox, which is not very far up from a jobber.
Right. You're building up to it at this point. You're building her up to be the heel. Heels lose. When you're building a babyface right, you build them up to lose. So I'd have Nia. You do a 2-match series with Sasha and Nia. You bring then, for the Rumble weekend, you do Charlotte and Sasha again. Then you do Bayley and Sasha at Mania. That's how I would do it. I don't know if that's how they'll do it. That's how I'll do it. I would do
it. I would at least give 2 matches to Nia and Sasha.
Yeah, do November and December with them.
Yeah, with the first match ending due to, not to lose the title, but one of those endings where, okay, lay off of her, she can't keep going.
Yeah, it'll
like,
be...
Ref has to call off the match because, like, okay, Nia's literally beating the life out of this woman.
She won't break the 5 count.
She won't break the 5 count, she won't stop punching, she won't stop stomping, something like that.
Yeah, and that's how I would do it, yeah.
Yeah, and people on Twitter post the Simpsons meme, he's already dead.
So that's sort of how to do it there.
She's already dead.
Thank you for the sound effects.
So, I need to mention one thing. The WWE 2K17 commercial they aired tonight, amazing.
I didn't see it.
You missed out. It was awesome. Anyway, moving on. Because they just aired it again. United States titles on the line, Rusev versus Roman Reigns. This was a match.
It was a match, yes.
It was very slow for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Here's a positive from the match. They did great camera work with Rusev on the mat and then focusing it all on in the background. Great camera work. Production was top notch.
I have been very critical of the production level of WWE lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the director is at the moment, but he is usually drunk and does not know what camera to shoot to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take any positives from this match I can, honestly.
So I'm giving them credit for that. So we have accolade attempt, no spear, 2 count as Lana pulled the referee out. Referee then throws Lana out. Couple drive-bys on the outside. Eventually get back in the ring. Super kick by Rusev for a 2 count. An accolade. Roman escapes. Spear. Roman Reigns is the new United States champion.
Who do those points go to?
I know who lost them points.
You fail a drug test while you're being pushed as the top contender. You get a title belt. You just got married. You get fucked over.
Right.
WWE logic.
No. You fail the policy. You become America's champion. You get married. You gotta lose it because you want to be faithful to your wife. That is WWE logic.
You're on drugs for performance enhancing, and that makes you American.
He cut himself off mid-sentence. What'd you say?
No enhancement needed.
There you go. So yes, Roman Reigns is the U.S. champion. We getting a rematch between the two?
Not immediate. Like Rusev came back from like the supposed break he was going on. Earlier than planned, or earlier than announced, anyway.
If he was actually on vacation that long, or was he just doing smoke signals and wasn't actually getting a month off?
Yeah, that's the question.
I'll propose this. Are we getting Rusev and Roman in the cell?
For the U.S. belt?
Yeah, why not?
You know, the thing is, if any single match and feud makes sense to put in the cell at this point, it's Charlotte and Sasha.
I agree with that.
Because fucking Dana.
You keep Dana out, you put him in the cell. Yeah. Could also
and
say,
those two would do it.
They would do it. Could also say Cesaro and Sheamus can be put in the cell as well. But Charlotte and Sasha in the cell would be good. I don't know if they would do it, but it would be a first. And with the Cell, you kind of need first.
Yeah, you do.
Because we've seen it all. So if you actually put the girls in there, it may work out. So, there's that. And then we got our main event, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens for the Universal title, a.k.a. the Battle for Triple H's Love. I want to show you why, you know, your husband made a bad decision, and I'm going to show you why he chose me, and that's the basis behind this match.
Triple H loves me more.
No, he loves me more. It's all about the Triple H movement.
Oh, God. Haven't I been in enough pain today?
No.
You're the chosen one!
Now you're mentioning the Star Wars prequels. Both of you, stop it.
This match was very, very slow in the beginning. Like at 10:50, I really like Kevin Owens, but at 10:50, I don't need Headlock City. Like, that works at 9 o'clock, works at 10. 10:50?
Look, I got shit to do tomorrow.
Like, come on, dude.
You're the main event, can we ramp this up?
A little bit. Oh, God. Why? Like, the match started at 10:40, I was telling Lindsay, and this was during the Rome match, they're not getting out of the ring till 10:30. The other match ain't gonna get into the ring about till 10:40. What did you know it? They got in the ring about a little bit after 10:40. It's like, God, this one's going long. It's like, come on. It's like, the one thing that SmackDown's backlash had was it ended at 10:40. When this main event started.
So, hey, they've made their 3-hour each quota between the two.
They did. The matchup would eventually pick up a little bit. It all started when Michael Cole called a forearm a clothesline.
Well, they both involved an arm. It's closer than he's gotten before.
Yeah, I guess, because then he called it, because he did the move twice. He called it a second time a forearm, so he at least got it the second time. That was good on you, Cole. You know the difference between a clothesline and a forearm. Good job. We have a tease of the Spanish announce table, teases of the package, powerbomb, piledriver, whatever he was going for. We had a springboard, neck to the knee for a 2-count. KO then hit the gut buster from the top rope, followed by a frog splash for a 2-count, which is where apparently Seth Rollins may have injured his ribs, legit, from what I was reading during the show, which is not the case. That kind of sucks. Kevin Owens lays Rollins on the announce table, tells the ref and Seth Rollins to suck it, and then miss the senton. Unlike Bray Wyatt, who said, fuck it, I'm just gonna do it. No. Kevin Owens said, suck it, and missed. He tried. A flying knee from one side and a frog splash from the other by Seth Rollins. Chris Jericho came out. He started interfering in this one, trying to help his buddy. Owens at one point got thrown into Jericho, rolled for a 2-count. Rollins laid out Owens. Jericho would put Owens' foot on the bottom rope for a 2-count. Referee saw it. Then we had a referee bump when Kevin went for the pop-up powerbomb. And Rollins jumped over him and hit the ref. Pedigree, ref down. Jericho gets dumped out. Rollins dives onto Jericho on one side. Rollins dives onto Owens on the other. The ref's still down. Stephanie brings out another ref. Wouldn't you know it, pop-up powerbomb. Kevin Owens retains.
I like how they cut back to Stephanie just as she's walking away with this, stare over her shoulders. Yeah, meant to.
Meant to. I did it.
Oh, my.
I had higher expectations for this match, but it was a solid match.
Everybody did. But, like you said, it was a solid match.
I think that's the same. It's like, you, on paper, it looks really good. And it was good. But in your head, you were imagining it so much better.
Yeah. You expected them to do more things. That's the best way to put it. I don't know
how...
Do more of the things. I don't know how else to describe it, but just do more. And they sort of didn't. But that's okay. Because eventually they'll have another match together and they'll do more. I don't know if that's going to be anytime soon. Because I get this feeling we could be moving them out of Seth Rollins out of the title picture. Which probably needs to be for a little while.
Because he was in the title picture for a long time before injury and then jumped right back into it.
And that was sort of the plan with Finn Balor. He was supposed to wrap up with Finn and then be out of the title picture. LeMans asked, who steps up next? Sammy?
He lost tonight.
He's not done with Jericho yet.
Could do a Jericho, Sammy, Owens three-way.
If you can justify Sammy getting in there, yeah, but he just lost to Jericho.
You can also beat Jericho on Raw. They're great on this 50-50 booking.
Oh, so, yeah.
And then Kevin Owens is going to come out, nope, you're not beating Jericho, which leads to a tag team match. Wait, sorry, Theodore Long's not here. Continue. Now hold on a minute, players.
Teddy is here. He's just talking. He's been talking for the last 20 minutes, so a cardboard cutout of Vicky Guerrero in the back.
Oh, God.
The worst part is he thinks it's Vince. Jeez. I don't know why. I don't know why you have Teddy come out and pretend like he's senile just for a one-night gag.
Because they have no other good ideas.
Apparently not.
Best way to describe it, I don't know. But that was the show. How would you grade it out, Omega?
Honestly, like, okay, aside from the finish of the women's match and a few matches that could have picked up their pacing, I was fairly happy with the pay-per-view.
So, B?
Well, yeah, I'm around in the B category here.
How would you grade it out, Mike?
B. I'd grade it a B, you know. The thing that saved the show was Cruiserweights.
Starting from the bottom, the A-ball went 2-5, and the video game went 3-4. Subway went 3-4, so did our intern. Matt, Mikhail, Omega, and Tim went 4-3. Myself, Sheila, Rob, Lindsay, and Heartbreak Mike, along with Chris Pierce, Jersey Girl, and Aaron Frost, went 5-2. And Tommy C. went 6-1 for the picks.
No perfect card.
9-1.
Alright, so all the winnings will pile over to the next pay-per-view. Everyone keep your power balls, they'll still count.
Wait, how did the video game go 3-4 in turn? Because there were 8 matches on the show. I know one ended in a no contest, but I only did 7 sims. So how did the video game go 3-4 in turn? Should be 3-3. Or 2-4, whatever it was. Intern needs to correct his numbers. Just pointing that out. The intern's going to yell at me in a minute. Anyway, so there you go for pick 'em. On there.
What was the one that wasn't simmed?
The Cruiserweight.
Okay. I was going to say, because if it was Nye, he probably just scored it to you automatically.
No, I couldn't find any good T.J. Perkins, so I actually couldn't do the match. Bite me. That was not even English. It's like, that wasn't even English. He's going to yell at me. Anyway, so next week on the show, next week would be the, second. Hey, we're previewing No Mercy next week on the show. Looking at the October calendar, it's like, wait, what's
it's the pay-per-view show.
Next week is the pay-per-view show.
So are we having pay-per-views like every other Sunday?
Everyone, circle the date, October 16th. No pay-per-view coverage.
And the chorus of angels did sing. But it's that time of the month, so we'll talk about Halloween Havoc.
You know what?
Don't make that a thing. Please don't make that a thing.
We may make that a thing. May have you guys review Halloween Havoc 1994. Why 94? I just picked a random year.
Let's hope there was one in 1994.
Was there a... Yeah, there was a Halloween Havoc in 94, I believe. Halloween Havoc 1994. Yes, there was.
Okay.
Happened here in Philadelphia, apparently. No, wait, no, that didn't. It was another one in Philadelphia. Anyway, this was Halloween Havoc in Detroit. The Cage Revenge.
The Cage Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Cage coming back and killing everybody that slammed into it over the years?
The main event was Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair. Jimmy Hart was Hogan's corner. Ric Flair had some sensuous sherry. Mr. T was the special referee for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship career match in a steel cage.
And they say WCW overbooked.
Right?
Stop that.
We had the Nasty Boys versus Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck.
Why do you even have people in your corner when you're in a cage match?
Logic. Anyway, Dustin Rhodes versus Arn Anderson, Jim Duggan versus Steve Austin, Vader versus the Guardian Angel. Stars and Stripes versus Pretty Wonderful, Honky Tonk Man versus Johnny B-Bad, and Dave Sullivan versus Kevin Sullivan.
Pay-per-view match. Steve Austin versus Jim Duggan.
For the U.S. title. Halloween Havoc, 1994. It was a thing. As I just scrolled through the years, Hogan was in the Halloween Havoc main event for many, many years. And then there was the one where Goldberg fought Diamond Dallas Page that never finished on pay-per-view. It was a thing. That was a thing. But now, speaking of things, it's time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
This week in the all-time greatest, it is the Ministry of Darkness taking on Triple X Omega.
I'll be perfectly honest, I have very little memory of Triple X. I know who was in it, but it was the TNA period where I was in my original, fuck it, it's TNA.
Mm-hmm.
So my memory of what the stable actually accomplished is lacking.
The really, really cool dive off the cage.
The walking head scissor thing?
Yeah, that was Triple X.
And?
They held many titles. They were great in the X division.
Yeah, I'm still picking the Ministry. It's probably as, like, super villain evil as a WWE faction ever got. Just unabashedly, we are, they might as well have walked down to the ring with just evil stamped over their heads. It was not even vague about it, but there was also something very dark and sinister about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Undertaker is literally hypnotizing people and brainwashing them into servitude, and they're sacrificing people on Raw. Yeah, this is something.
Mike?
I don't know Triple X. Sorry. So we're gonna go with Ministry.
Go with what?
We're gonna go with Ministry. Sorry.
People, learn your TNA history.
No.
TNA history.
This would require having TNA in my browser history.
Exactly. That means I have to remember King of the Mountain and Slapnuts. I'm good.
And that one match where they did up the ring like the Alamo.
So the people went 50-50 on the match. But since you both went with the Ministry moves on. Up next, you have... Hold on, this one needs production. This one definitely needs production.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. This one needs production. You have Team Angle taking on... Hi, this is Omega, the main event of
WrestleMania. No, go shut your mouth. Number one, you had way too much emotion when you said that.
A whole lot of emotion.
This is Omega. This is the best of 2005. Mike, welcome to the origin of Omega as an internet personality.
Dear God.
It won't pretty.
I believe it.
Oh, we have to vote now. I'm up. Is that Rock? Did Rock abandon us?
You go. You go.
Alright. God, that fucking music. Team Angle, all well and good. You get this kind of semi-patriotic thing going with some, you know, all-American wrestlers. Granted, you had a really good lead character because Angle was at his prime at the time. You had, you know, the world's greatest tag team, which really was one of the best tag teams, but god damn, you needed a better name.
So they call him Team Angle.
But.
Anyways.
No, I don't know. There's just something hysterical about the BWO. Like, it's so stupid. It's perfect ECW style mockery of what was big in WCW at the time. Just the absolute ridiculousness of it. It's the same thing, but there's only three of us and we're blue. As the song plays in my ears, and I try very hard to forget at nights. No, I thought it was a perfect parody. But, you know, I was all, that angle always made me laugh. And it was when Stevie Richards was actually, like, in his prime, because he actually had, like, world title matches under that gimmick.
Yeah. So BWO.
BWO.
Mike.
Technical versus entertainment. Parody versus love children. I'm going to have to go... I'm sorry, I'm not going to lie. When Team Angle was feuding with Los Guerreros, that was a good feud. However, I'm going to have to go with... Because I am rolling a dice. No, I'm kidding. Fuck. Can't beat... it's a hard to sit... Wait, hold on. Just Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin, or Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin, Kurt Angle?
You need three people first.
Yeah, you need at least three people for a stable.
Okay, BWO.
I like how that made the difference.
Because you didn't see any hilarious segments with all three versions of, with all three people of Team Angle, except him firing all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. And BWO, shit, they know them motherfuckers. The entertainment, that's what they are, entertainment. And because of it, they were over. Thank you, Paul Heyman, for making them over.
So there you go. 53%, 57% of people went with the BWO. So the BWO moves on. Next week, it's the Nexus versus the McMahon-Helmsley regime, and the Hart Foundation versus the Dangerous Alliance. So do your homework, people. Do your homework.
I know what the Dangerous Alliance is.
Talking about the Nexus. Learn all things Nexus.
That was a Nexus, too.
Wait, the old Nexus or the new Nexus?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We should all, before we get to Quick Heads, send a big shout out to Heath Slater. He finally got his pool.
Woo!
Big ups to Heath Slater. He got his pool.
He got his pool.
Now we go to Quick Heads.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Mike, now that summer has officially ended, what are you going to miss most about the summer?
Sundresses.
Omega, same question.
I'm in Florida.
And?
And what?
I think his answer is, what the fuck is other seasons?
Yeah. You think there's something other than summer?
I'm not talking just about the weather.
It's Florida. Everything is the same.
Alright.
In November, we get about a week's worth of fall. And then winter is called December 20th.
So, Mike, what are you looking forward to this fall? Now that fall's here.
A snow bunny.
Omega, what are you looking forward to most now that fall has arrived?
Summer Part 2.
Rage.
Honestly, I'm looking forward to the temperatures going down at least a little bit. It would be nice to actually be able to go out and collect my Pokemon without sweating like a pig.
So 3 degrees.
Oh, it's 3 degrees that matter when you're Floridian.
That sounds like a Pokemon city. Alright.
Not Viridian, Floridian.
I know what you said.
Alright, that'll do it for WTR Sunday night. Tomorrow night, the Raw
Fucking geek.
Tomorrow night, it is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday night. Raw Thursday night is another edition of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Joining us will be the one, the only, the soon-to-be TNA Hall of Famer, Gail Kim. We'll also be talking the SmackDown Throwdown, NXT, and reviewing Clash of Champions. Tune in to Rack Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWard, LINSWARD. You can check out her artwork at Behance.net/LindsWard, same as the Twitter. Saturday night, midnight edition of CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies, blame Sub when a celebrity gets arrested. The CB Radio Party Debates will be beginning soon. And so much more at CB Radio Saturday night, midnight is. We'll be back next Sunday night for WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, previewing WWE No Mercy. And learning Omega's top 5 reasons why fall is great. he'll be doing an oral book report about it.
Oh, yes, sure.
At WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com slash Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, we're on iTunes, just search out Wild Talk Radio Network. Mike, plug your stuff.
Well, anyone wants to see the black guy, you know, just add me on Twitter, the WTR Oreo. Yeah, I need to start posting. I think I'm going to probably post more. I'm going to post more, so just add me on Twitter and I will start posting. Probably about Neverwinter or wrestling. We'll see.
I like how the discussion we just had, and then the first thing you mentioned is Neverwinter.
Shut up, I'm playing that now.
Not hating it.
Well, Micah, you do things that drive yourself insane, right?
Yeah.
Where can people find out about it?
Anywhere where TJ Omega is mentioned, except on Facebook. Fuck that guy. Over there, it is TJ Reviews. Everywhere else on the internet, over on Twitter, it is TJ Omega. On the website, it is tjomega.org. And, of course, on YouTube, where it is TJ Omega, where there is always new content on the way and being posted. And you can see why I'm a little bit loopy when we get to Sunday nights.
And realistically, that's only just the beginning of your week.
Yeah.
The process starts all over again. But, yes, he does live streaming. He does a whole bunch of things. TJ Omega on the YouTube. Subscribe now. He needs all the followers and subscribers he can get.
Mm-hmm.
To do the thing. Anyway, as mentioned, we'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. The Canadian will finally return, maybe, if his computer's working. You can follow him on Twitter and give him computer advice at Flames Forums. And if you want him to do a hockey podcast, tweet him then, too. Make it a thing. Anyway, for Heartbreak Mike and Omega, I'm Sir Rock. We'll see you next Sunday night and all week long along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we're here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.